The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome to the newly rebranded Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I am your host, Chris Felico, the Italian Stallion, joined by my buddy, Juan Liriano, the Vibes Guy. You could find us both on Twitter. You could find me at Italian Stallion. You could find Juan at Juan on MLB. Man, Juan, the Sox, six in a row. Caleb Durbin hits another home run. We squeak out a 2-1 win. Another sweep, 2.5 out of a wild card. Vibes are pretty high, Juan. What's your perception of this team after this win?
I mean, we've reached a point with this team now where we were all skeptics. At some point, we were doubting that this team could do anything. And we're now at the point where they're 2.5 games out of that final wild card spot. The pitching has been amazing up until this point. Offensively, you've got some bright spots on this team. They have to be buyers at this point. And I think I mentioned in our group chat, I want them to play like a hybrid type approach with this trade deadline, because there are some guys that I do think they should trade off. And that, you know, being Aroldis Chapman and maybe Sonny Gray being added in that list. But they also have to bring in some bats, because pitching wise, I hate to do this, but the guy that's in charge, he did a pretty good job of ensuring that our pitching staff can be at the top of their game. And we have been this entire season and up until this point. Offensively is where we need help, because we're right in the thick of things at this point. We are competing. We are in the run. And I do think that, man, we just need maybe a bat or two. And maybe we're talking, because this version of the American League is bad. I mean, that third wild card spot, it's possible that it's an under 500 team that's locking down that third wild card spot. It's bad at this point. So you are in the thick of things. Get some pieces in here and let's make a run. Let's try to make it into the playoffs. And for me, the way the season started, to get into the playoffs, that's a win. I'll take it.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of good points there. And, you know, I want to touch further on this concept of like what the Red Sox should be going into the trade deadline. But I kind of just want to even recap this series and just the overall sentiment of the Red Sox now at this point, because I agree with you. I mean, I even switched my background. It still says Fire Bread to the podcast, but the sun's out in Boston. I mean, I might get to a point where I don't know if I'm going to have the Fire Bread to the podcast in the background if they keep winning. I say that tongue in cheek, but I mean, to your point, Craig Breslow does deserve a little bit of credit when it comes to the pitching staff and the fact that it's almost like a makeshift, you know, rotation where one guy goes down, another one comes in, and they just find a way, right? The bullpen's still shaky. I still don't trust Slayton in a big spot, but with like Whitlock and Aroldis Chapman, you know, pending he doesn't get traded, I still trust the back end of that bullpen. If we could turn it over to those guys, you know, seventh inning on. But I mean, this series was, I mean, honestly, the last couple of series, you know, you mentioned as far as the offense, today was a day where Wilson Contreras is now serving 1 of 4 game suspension, which is kind of what we expected it was going to be brought down to. It wasn't going to be 7. And there's a distinct difference in this offense when he is not in the lineup, right? And we saw it again today. Caleb Durbin hits a 2-run home run, one of his it's only hit in 4 at-bats. I mean, he's been on fire in the midst of this little streak of on and off sweeps, 6 in a row. And then, you know, the offense, they had a couple of times where they threatened to score a couple of runs. They didn't get another one across the plate. But, I mean, the defense. I mean, you had Duran, Seydon Rafaela, and Abreu all making fantastic catches. Abreu, I think, was somewhere in like the 4th or 5th inning. Then you had Duran somewhere in like the 6th, 7th inning. And then Sadon Rafael towards, I think it was either the 8th or 9th. I mean, just phenomenal plays in the outfield, which you've come to expect from Sadon Rafael and Abreu. Duran, we know that he has that ability, but I mean, let's face it, he also does have the ability to make some boneheaded plays in the outfield as well. So it was good to see Caleb Durbin and this defense getting us and propelling us to our 6th overall victory, which is the longest win streak of this season. This team is in a place now where I agree, we were all skeptics, and I still think that some of us are still borderline skeptics. I mean, Terry's all in on just sell everything, right? And I don't think that's going to probably change for Terry, unless they win like 30 in a row and go on like a 2002 age streak. But I think the rest of us are kind of teetering where it's like, is this for real? Can I trust it? Can I believe it? Because we've been burnt so many times by this Boston Red Sox team. But the one thing I do harp on is the fact that I know a couple shows ago we were on with Jeremy, and even I was like, just lose at this point because it doesn't make sense to win. He was like, I just want to see something. I want to have something to watch over the summer until the Pats come back. And he was right, because the truth is this team, and what is different about the last couple of series, is this team is watchable. Even when they went on that 5-game win streak earlier in this little, we'll just call it win streak overall in the last month and a half, it just didn't seem realistic. It didn't seem believable. Yeah, they had a couple of offensive outbursts, but it just didn't seem like it was going to be replicable over the course of series after series. And now we've played a couple of teams that are winning their division and in the thick of it for a wild card, and we're putting up runs on a consistent night-after-night basis. And we're not pissing all over our legs defensively in the infield every single night. Defensively, we seem pretty good. I mean, Patrick Sandoval, who literally hasn't pitched in, I think, like, it seems like 2 years, 2+ years, that's comes nice. Back, and I didn't know what to expect from him. I mean, if he got shelled, you couldn't even blame him. Dude hasn't pitched in forever. Came out, he only went 4 1/3, but, I mean, what he gave you was good enough. And he looked pretty electric in the beginning of the game. Was in control. Don't even get me started with the ump. There was a couple of pitches, even on both sides, where he just did not have a good feel for like the top end of the strike zone. The commentary was even mentioning it, and I think he was squeezing Sandoval on some of those high fastballs that should have been strikes, coupled for punch outs. But ball don't lie. He was still able to get either a strikeout or a weak ground out in most of those cases. So it was exciting to see. And I think to your point, if we're going to look to potentially be buyers, as we approach, the deadline here, what are you realistically expecting? And what do you want to accomplish? I think you kind of already hinted it, but I want to see some more specifics.
Well, I think that's a difficult question to answer, and I'm going to tell you why. Who has come out and just said, hey, we're selling at this point? I don't think anyone has done that. I mean, the Angels have been bad, and the Angels aren't selling anyone. So that's why I think that's a really difficult question to answer, because we're at the point in the season where, as I mentioned before, the American League is bad. There's going to be a team with a sub-500 record that's getting into the playoffs. There's a bunch of teams that are stacked all together, separated by 2, 3, 4 games. And that is the issue that the Red Sox, I think, are going to encounter, despite Breslow saying, I don't know if we're sellers at this point. He was asked this morning if they're sellers or buyers. They're reconsidering the approach they're going to take. And to be quite honest with you, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the idea of buying and bringing more talent on this roster. The problem is, no one has come out and outright said we're selling. Any team that you're looking at, I saw Terry bring up Jeremy Peña. The Astros haven't come out and said they're going to sell. I mean, there were rumors about Alvarez being traded. They were connected to Paredes. They haven't come out and said that they're going to just sell and give up on the season, because they're also kind of fighting for that final wildcard spot. So that's why I think it's a difficult question to answer, because at this point, we don't know who's going to sell. We don't know who's given up on the season, and the Red Sox are in that mix right now.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I view it very similarly, because, there's been, there's a sentiment now, in specifically in the Boston media and then even in MLB in general, where the Red Sox are one of the hottest teams in baseball. They're very much in the thick of this thing from a wild card perspective. To your point, the third wild card may very well be a team with a losing record, or close to it at least. So the problem is, yes, everyone is in the thick of it as well. And that makes things complicated from a trade perspective. And I think when you look at the usual suspects, Aroldis Chapman, I've seen Whitlock out there. And what everyone's speculating is that these guys get traded because they're the most likely quote-unquote trade candidates right now, other than maybe Sonny Gray, but we'll get to him in a second. You're going to fetch prospects. And to me, the thing that scares me about that is we're looking at our own prospects, right? Half of them are in the minors, buried in witness protection program. We're probably never going to see them. And then the ones that we do see every so often, the Marcelo Myers, the Roman Anthonys, we don't even want to see, right? Because we feel like to a certain degree, specifically with Marcelo Meyer, we may have seen enough. Like, he's great defensively, but literally gives you almost nothing offensively. And then you have Roman Anthony, where you could make the argument, I need to see more. The problem is there might be other factors with this kid, whether it's a mental component or just the fact that he's immature. The Boston media is already, you know, talking about a rift between him and the franchise, which is why he's being sent down to Fort Myers to kind of like do his rehab stint, because he's acting too much like a kid who's already been handed a contract. If we're being honest, he really hasn't earned. Yeah, he showed a flash of about a month and a half where it's like, all right, this guy looks like he could be a cornerstone. But even then, wasn't projecting to be what we expected. Your 30-plus home run guy, cornerstone of your, you know, offense for the next 15 years. Your next quote-unquote big poppy, if you will. And if we're going to go out there and fetch prospects, who's to say that these prospects don't end up like these guys, right? And we're giving away proven talent. Now, Aroldis Chapman, yes, age is a factor. And I think with him, you have to roll that dice and take your chance because he's not the long-term solution as much as you may want him to be. At some point, Father Time is undefeated and he will take down Aroldis Chapman like every other great player as they age. Whitlock's an interesting one because he's still, quote-unquote, still very much in the prime of his career from an age perspective. Yeah, he's had some injury stints that have put him on the IL on and off. It seems to have lessened when we've had him in the bullpen role versus trying to force him to be a starter like we did for two or three seasons. But I don't know if I want prospects because I don't know what that does for our team. Long-term, yeah, maybe you get an Abreu. But, like, we got rid of Christian Vasquez for Abreu. We didn't give away a Whitlock, who I very much think could be a part of the future. And if you get rid of him and then Aroldis Chapman, you literally have no bullpen that you can trust. And I think the Red Sox were teetering right now where it's like, do we buy or sell? Do we compete or do we not compete? And I think that's really the question the Red Sox have to answer is, are they going to go for it this season? And if they are, to me, the only person who should be in play is Aroldis Chapman.
100%. I agree with that, especially because you have the support of a Whitlock and a Slayton, even though he's been, you know, shaky. You have those two guys that you can go to, that you can have the confidence in, that, you know, if you need to protect a one or two run lead, those guys can come in and protect that lead. So Chapman has always been the one guy that I just say, listen, you've taken advantage of this peak at age 38, but Father Time is undefeated. At some point, he is going to come crashing down. Because that's a part of nature. That's a part of sports. That's what happens to every single player. He's the one guy that I think you have to move on. Well, not really. And Sonny Gray. Despite the season that Sonny Gray has had, the one thing that I can give credit to Craig Breslow is being able to build up this pitching rotation, this pitching staff, to the point that our number one guy has been out for the majority of the season, and we are at the top of the league in terms of ERA and just full pitching staff, despite not having our number one guy. That's credit to Craig Breslow. And I hate doing that because, again, we've rebranded to the Fire Breslow podcast. But he did build up the pitching staff to this point. Defensively, we are one of the best defensive teams in Major League Baseball. That's credit to Craig Breslow. So the one area that I do think that, listen, you can trade off Sonny Gray, because you have other guys that you can rely on. Ranger Suarez is set to come back. Garrett Crochet at some point has to come back. You've seen what Peyton Tolley and Early have done for you. You have guys that you can rely on. So that's the odd man out for me. They have to figure out a way. But again, that's difficult. That's a difficult conversation to have at this point because you're just mixed. You're stacked in the middle with a bunch of teams that are fighting for that final playoff spot. If anything, all they're going to give up is prospects. And this is a hit or miss. I am not a prospects guy. I'm just not that because I can't trust that the Boston Red Sox can build these guys up to what they're projected to be. I mean, we've talked about the big three. How many times that this was the future of the Boston Red Sox. Marcelo Meyer, we don't know what we're getting from him offensively. Roman Anthony is just an injury waiting to happen at this point. He's immature. And again, we don't know what to expect from him.
And Campbell,
forget about Campbell. he's never going to see the major leagues at this point. So they haven't shown me that they can build up the prospects. If I'm going to trade someone, I'm going to trade him for a guy that hasn't worked for you on your roster that can maybe work with the Boston Red Sox. That's what I'm looking for if I'm trading any of these guys, primarily Chapman or Sonny Gray.
I don't disagree with you, but I'm going to give a different perspective the more that I've thought about this. If the Red Sox lean into that they want to compete this year, and I think that obviously this Mets series going into the All-Star break is going to have a big role in that decision-making process, because what is kind of wild now is the last 3 years, the Red Sox have done the exact same thing. Looked like absolute dog crap, and then somehow found a way to string like double-digit wins going into the All-Star break. Last year it worked out for us. They just missed the playoffs the year before that. Who knows what's going to happen this year? But if we decide we're going to lean into it, I almost think that you can't get rid of Sonny Gray, and here's why. Prior to Connelly Early going down, and I get it, it may not necessarily be a serious thing, but just hear me out because he's not back yet. I am scared to get rid of Sonny Gray. We don't know what is going to happen when Connelly Early comes back. Is he going to be ready? What's he going to look like? He even already was kind of up and down right before he got hurt, right? And so is Peyton Tolley. They've both been serviceable. They've both gotten the job done. But by no means do I know if I can trust them yet in the middle of a playoff run. That's one. Two, we don't know what's going to happen with Garrett Crochet. I don't know how he's going to look, because if we all remember, he didn't look that great even before he got hurt. He looked like he was hitting a sophomore slump as far as sophomore year with the Boston Red Sox, in which he was just edged out by Tarik Skubal for the Cy Young last year and looked like nothing like that starting pitcher and the ace of that staff this year.
That's fair.
That's number two. Number three, let's assume Early comes back, looks good. Let's assume that Crochet comes back and looks good. What was the Achilles heel last year when we lost to the New York Yankees? We went into the last month of the season going, the pitching staff is our strength. That's what's going to carry us. And then we lose Giolito, changes the whole dynamic of that series. It's inevitable someone might go down. Cutter Crawford's not coming back this year. Tanner Houck is not coming back this year. So we are one pitcher going down again from having to turn to a Patrick Sandoval or even, God, I hate to say it, a Brian Bello in the middle of a playoff run. And neither one of us wants that. So if we are going to go all in, I actually think that you have to keep Sonny Gray. And if you're really going all in for the future, I would even consider, and I know this is going to sound crazy, because to your point, everyone's in this. I almost think that the only trades that are going to happen is going to be, let's just do something that works for both of us long term. Maybe you look to move Garrett Crochet for a big bat.
That's not, I'm not going to say you're crazy for that. And it's primarily because I have trust if Craig Breslow is a part of the future, because if things continue to go the way that they have, I'm at the point where I don't think they're going to fire him. He's going to be back next season. So they're going to have the confidence that he has the ability to build up the pitching rotation. That's not a crazy thought, especially because you know that the weakness of your team is the offensive side. And if you can trade away a guy at Crochet because, hey, we got the young arms of Early and Tolley, who has been spectacular so far this season, you have the ability to do that because you have a guy in office right now that, yeah, that's his forte. He knows how to build the pitching rotation.
I 100% agree. I'm thinking about it exactly the same way. To me, if I'm going to give my flowers to Craig Breslow, it's what he has done with the rotation consistently over the last 2 years. He's turned to guys in Giolito, Sonny Grays, Patrick Sandoval, and all these guys that we just didn't really expect much from or didn't know exactly what to expect, and certainly didn't think that they would contribute to the level that they have relative to their position in the rotation. And they've all come out and they've all done above and beyond what we expected when you look at the sample size as a whole. To me, I trust Craig Breslow to bring in Sonny Grays of the world, Giolitos of the world, and these guys that people give up on and turn them into something. Now, granted, he comes with his blemishes as well, because we also have, we never gave Kyle, Carol Harrison a fair shake, right? So we sent out Quinn Priester. So like, we have definitely made mistakes, or I should say Craig Breslow has made mistakes with not giving guys opportunities. And God, it would be great to have some of those guys for that added depth, because then I do think that you could easily make Sonny Gray expendable. Heck, you might even be able to trade both of them and bring in two bats at that point. But to me, I'm looking to we have to bring in a bat if we're going to compete, right? It's got to be a Yordan Alvarez type bat or better. And the only way you're going to be able to do that, to your point, is because everyone's in the thick of it. You got to give someone an asset that they can look to build their future in. And I hate to say it, but Garrett Crochet is that guy for me right now. I don't know what we're going to do. You brought up a good point as far as with Craig Breslow, because I'm in agreement with you. I don't think that we're at a point where we're going to fire him. And I actually wanted to ask you, because I do think that there's now the sentiment in the Boston media where it's like, oh, I think Craig Breslow possibly is the guy. You can't turn away from him. Let him continue to build. Don't make the same mistake as Heim Bloom, where you get rid of him before he gets to see the vision, specifically because some of these guys, especially the rookies and the prospects, are not his guys. Are you starting to buy into Craig Breslow? And if not, how close are you to starting to just say, let him finish the job he started?
I'll tell you this much. His area, right, of expertise, right, the area that he's known for is the pitching. And the one thing that he also mentioned was the defense. Two areas that he wanted to focus on. If you look at their rankings from last year to this year, errors, they were dead last in Major League Baseball last season. This season, they're sixth, top 10. Unearned runs, they were 29th last season. This season, they're fourth. You've got to give him credit. He's clearly shown that he can build those two sides of a Major League Baseball team. Now, my number one critique of Craig Breslow is, if you're being brought in to run a team, you have to build the team in totality. Offense is a part of that as well. So the way that I'm thinking about this now is, you can keep Craig Breslow to focus primarily on the pitching and the defense, or pitching if you just want to have him run the pitching staff, and bring in somebody like, Theo is there, right? He's behind the scenes. He's moving the needle here and there. He brought in Craig Breslow, someone like that. It may not be him because he's part of ownership. He doesn't want to do it anymore. But bring in somebody that's known and that can build a complete team, that can focus on bringing in offensive talent into this team. If that's the approach the Boston Red Sox want to take, I'm all for it. Because, again, we have to get credit where it's due. He's built up the pitching staff and he's built up the defense for this team. He's done that. Now, the one area where he hasn't shown that, it's the offense. Bring in somebody that can build the offense, and then we're cooking with something here. So I'm on that camp. I might be by myself. I don't know. But I do think that he's not going to get fired. He deserves to have some role on this team. Just bring in somebody that can focus and oversee him and also try to build the offense, because he's been poor in that area.
Yeah, I don't disagree, and I'm maybe not as far as you are. I think what I'm waiting for, because where I actually think his biggest opportunity is in executing the trade deadline, because the more that I think about it, because all we've talked about is you need to bring in a real GM, one that's going to, you know, bring in the free agent, spend money, and the more that I think about it, like, even if we did that, we're not going to spend the money because that's not their decision. That's an ownership decision. And the Red Sox have already made it clear over the last two, you know, vice presidents of baseball operations, that's not the vision for the Boston Red Sox. It's handing out a big contract when it makes sense, not too many of them, being economical and trying to be competitive at the same time. Long gone are the years of the early 2000s, mid-2000s, and 2018 Boston Red Sox where you're going to buy a World Series. It's just not going to happen at this point. So if that's the reality we live in, then I'm okay with a Craig Breslow being in his role if he can execute trade deadlines, if he can get creative and bring in the right players for the right pieces and find a way to be able to communicate with more than one baseball executive in the MLB and execute trades. And he hasn't done that yet. And until he can, I'm more leaning towards you got to bring in whoever that person is. Because yes, he's good at building, you know, a pitching staff and run prevention, and those are important things. But without an offense, like, we all know what's going to happen. You're going to lose games 2-1, 3-2. As soon as you start playing more potent offenses that have above average pitching in the playoffs, it's just a reality. Because you're not going to be able to trust the Boston Red Sox to get that run when they need it late in a game, when someone's got to make it happen, when someone's got to hit a home run. And I'm just not there yet with this team. I'm not there yet with Craig Breslow. However, I'm starting to come around to the fact that if he can execute a good trade deadline, provided we've decided that we are going all in, I am more open than I was ever before about having Craig Breslow be here beyond this year, regardless of what happens with the lockout. But I do agree with you. I do not think he is getting fired. And at the end of the day, we're not the ones who are going to make that decision. The Boston Red Sox have to make that decision of whether they're going to go all in or not.
100%. I think, and especially when you, I mean, just take a step back here and look at the guys that he brought in. Caleb Durbin, he's been killing it. Started off very, very slow, but he's been killing it the last, I don't know, 2 months. Wilson Contreras, don't we love him? Of course we do. He deserved the spot on the All-Star game. He's one of the best first basemen right now in the American League. He brought him in. Sonny Gray, we've talked about, should be in the All-Star game. Should be in the Cy Young conversation. He brought him in. So he's made really good moves. Of course, we all wanted him to do more because there was room to do more. If you're going to come out and say you're competing for the American League pennant, you have to go all in and make all the moves necessary to make this team what it should be. And that's where my criticism of Craig Breslow comes in. There was room to do more. Now, there are guys that are on this team that were not brought in by Craig Breslow that kind of slowed us down at the beginning of the season. Trevor Story was not brought in by Craig Breslow. He was one of the ones that we wanted off this team. Brian Bayo, last I remember, wasn't brought in by Craig Breslow. He was one of the ones that was bringing us down at the beginning of the season. The prospects that were on this team, whether it was Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony starting the way that they did, that's not on Craig Breslow. So this is where I feel like, you know, putting the emotions to the side, we need to have an honest conversation and look at what he's done this season and then talk about how he fits into the future of this team, because I just don't see this ownership saying, we're just going to get rid of him, especially not in this run that they're in. And if they keep fighting, and let's say they don't make the playoffs, but they were a game or two from making the playoffs, they're not going to get rid of him. They're not doing that. If the pitching continues to perform the way that it has, if the defense continues to perform the way that it has, they're not getting rid of him. He'll be back next season. So it's figuring out how can we keep Craig Breslow, but bring in somebody that can focus on the other sides of this team, the offensive side. And then next year, if there is a next season, as we always say, let's bring in that guy and let's cook. Let's see what we can do.
Agreed. And, you know, it's the one shame of this whole thing is that Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony, their trade value is close to nothing at this point. And Roman Anthony is a contract that we would probably all like to move at this point, because we know, even though it is reasonable, it will prohibit this team from spending the money that they should. Because let's face it, he has not lived up to that contract. And right now it doesn't look like he's ever going to. But more to come with that. Should be super exciting to see what happens as we approach this trade deadline coming out of the All-Star break. But before we get to the All-Star break, we've got three games in Queens against the New York Mets. Game one tomorrow. It looks like we've got Sonny Gray versus Nolan McClain. And then there's no projected starters for, doesn't look like, for Saturday or Sunday right now, according to the RedSox.com and MLB.com. I think regardless, we got a pretty good idea where these two teams are right now. Red Sox are flying high as they've been this season, and the Mets are almost at the low of lows for themselves. Juan, what do you have in this three-game set as we go into the All-Star break?
I mean, I've got a sweep. They've swept three of the last four series. They've won 11 out of their last 13 games. They're on a six-game win streak, 14-5 in their last 19 games. They are rolling right now. And, I mean, it's the New York Mets. I mean, they're a joke. So, I mean, I know we're only, like, what, four games ahead of them, the overall standings, but the Mets are a joke. I think they ride this momentum into New York, and they sweep the series. I hope I'm not wrong, because I'm going to have to come back next week and apologize for jinxing the Boston Red Sox, but I think they sweep this series.
Yeah, I feel good about the series. I don't necessarily know if I'm at a place where I would call a sweep yet, only because, listen, at the end of the day, as bad as the New York Mets have been, they still have a potent enough offense. Like, as far as the players that are on that team, and if you look at the back of their baseball cards, they're due at some point for an offensive breakout that we're probably just not going to be able to match, especially in lieu of the fact that we will not have Wilson Contreras during that series as we head into the All-Star break. I do think that the Red Sox more than likely take two of three, just because Sonny Gray has almost become like an automatic win at this point, which is great to say. And again, I don't know what the other starters are going to be, but I trust the Boston Red Sox. There's probably going to be a Bayo. I don't know if it's going to be a start, but there will be a Bayo appearance somewhere in the midst of this. That does scare me a little bit. And that's why I pause and I say more than likely two out of three, but hell, I would take a sweep. Anything else from you, Juan?
No, that's about it. Listen, they are hot right now, and they're finding ways to win. I think they're going to continue to do that this weekend. I hope I'm not wrong. Once this series is over with the Mets, and let's say they win two out of three or sweep the series, next week is going to be interesting, man, because now we're going to have to get serious with trade talks. What this Boston Red Sox team is going to look closer to July and August. It's going to be fun to see. I'm just happy that the team is winning and that we can talk positively about the team. So I'm happy right now.
Yeah, 100%. I'm stoked as well. But to your point, next week and in the coming weeks, it's going to become evidently clear the direction for this team. And at the end of the day, and it's never more true than with the Boston Red Sox, talk is cheap. Moves will say everything that we need to know about this team. And at the end of the day, we're going to know based off of the moves that we're able to execute or not execute how serious this team is in making a push for October. I hope they are. We have been the Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Thank you for stopping by with us. For more well-written content, visit our Substack at Bastards of Boston Baseball.